doesn't matter what you do, Joey Burrow. We love you. We love you, little blonde hair. Everything that you do, Joey Burrow. You're our guy. You're our guy, Joey B. You're our guy, Joey B.
What did Joe do to you?
I'm going to tell you what he did to me.
And you know what the coach made me do?
What's that?
Wear boxing gloves in practice.
Boxing gloves.
And I already like to box.
Yeah, I know. Probably just throwing hooks.
It didn't help me cover nobody. What do you call this again?
Sunk cost fallacy.
That's absolutely what it is. T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, it's happening, man. Joe Burrow's that dude. He's the guy.
So explain to me then why he's 1-5 against Lamar Jackson.
That's not being the guy.
That is not being the guy at all.
No,
I need an explanation.
The explanation is
because he's the guy.
It's a team sport.
All of a sudden, it's a team sport. You know, I love that. I love that when it comes to Joe Burrow, how all of a sudden it's a team sport. Every other time.
Welcome to the Jason and OC podcast, brought to you by 888 Sport and Lazy Boy, the official partner of the NFL UK. And don't be alarmed. Don't be worried. This is not OC's New York apartment, even though it looked like this. It was this fly. Yeah. We are at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, OC.
Yeah. Imagine if my apartment was like right here. Anyway, just watch all the games. And as a matter of fact, I do live here now, by the way. I do live here.
You do live here for the next couple of weeks. Yeah. For sure.
No. Forever. Apparently, I live here.
Oh, you do live here. For anybody who doesn't know, we're going to have a great conversation about this. Mm. But my man's name is in the rafters.
By the cockerel. That's what it's called. It's called the cockerel.
Yeah. Sounds too much like a cockroach, but
yeah, but it's a cockerel.
Cockerel. Yeah. It was an amazing experience. I want to get into that later. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you enjoy it though? How did you feel, man? For real, in all honesty, sitting here, being out there in the middle of the field, talking to this whole audience, man, that was wild. Last time I seen you do that, you were getting inducted into the New York Giants Hall of Fame.
Okay, wow. Yeah, that did happen too.
That happened too.
It's a lot going on, man.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, do we want to talk about this now or a little bit later?
We'll get into it later, man. But you know what time it is. It's time for the Lazy Boy Game of the Week.
Vikings in their all purple here in Tottenham Stadium, getting to kick off the first of three games in this London series.
Of course, we're keeping it local for this week's Lazy Boy Game of the Week.
Of course, we're starting right here at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. The New York Jets versus the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings got on the board first with a field goal, and here we go. Still in the first quarter, 3rd and 6. Aaron Rodgers loves a quick pass. Threw it to the wrong guy this time, though. Andrew Van Ginkle, my man, the Minnesota Viking himself, taking it all the way back to the... I thought they couldn't run.
You got it wrong. This man is celebrating, which seems like a hometown crowd. Number 43, Van Ginkle, check this out. He drops back right in the voided zone area. They knew where Aaron Rodgers likes to throw the ball when they bring pressure at him. We talked about this defense and their ability to disguise, and they came through big time.
Touchdown! Another pick six for Andrew Van Ginkle.
Still in the first quarter, 3rd and 8. Aaron Rodgers looking, trying to check at the line of scrimmage. This guy right here is one of the best in the business at doing that, and he's going to throw the ball a little bit too high. Intercepted by Cameron Bynum, J-Bell.
Man, Bynum with the big interception. He tried to force the ball over the middle in cover two right here. The opening is usually the middle of the field, but he put too much on it. The Vikings come down with the INT.
Over the middle. That's high and picked. Intercepted by Cameron Bynum.
He's too high, J-Bell. He threw it. You know why he likes it?
Is it the ayahuasca?
Yeah, one of those things. Yeah. Still in the second quarter, 1st and goal. Sam Darnold's going to hand the ball off to CJ. I'm going to go ham straight into the end zone.
Give it to the big boy CJ Ham on the trap play, running right behind his big offensive line, just pushing people out of the way. We talk about this all the time. Near the goal line, you got to be able to run the ball successfully.
His big old line. Give it to him, J-Bell.
Big old line.
Ham. Touchdown. Vikings lead 16-0.
In the second quarter, 3rd and 6. Oh, here comes J-Bell's homeboy, his best friend, Harrison, off the edge with a great, great sack.
Dirty Harry is his name. 22 is his game. Coming off the edge, unblocked. But right there, Aaron Rodgers should have seen Tyler Conklin, number 83, on the hot route. He missed it. Man, the Vikings bring that pressure all day.
Rodgers, an old friend, gets him. Harrison Smith.
Still in the second quarter. 4th and 11, special teams for special players. Minnesota Vikings are going to punt the ball off. And you know who this is. It is my main man, Xavier Gibson, J-Bell. Scanting, weaving, making people miss, running. Well, we know he can run. Going all the way and getting pushed out of bounds.
Let me tell you something. If you want to make a comeback in a game, it is the kicking game. It flips the field. That's what it's all about. We talk about this all the time. Three phases of the game and special teams is a dominant player in that.
Catches, moves up. He's got room. Gibson for the sideline. Gibson inside the 35. And out at the 30-yard line.
Still in the second quarter, 3rd and 10. Aaron Rodgers, and this is what he does so good. He's going to step up into the pocket right here, trying to find somebody. And look at the arm talent. He throws a strike. Oh. Alan Lazard, touchdown.
Vintage Aaron Rodgers. If you give him time, he can paint a masterpiece. Look at him in the pocket. As soon as he steps up, he keeps his eyes down the field and finds Lazard in the back of the end zone with that pin point accuracy.
Rodgers steps up to the end zone. Lazard, touchdown.
3rd and 15, Sam Darnold played so well all season, not so well this season. He's going to throw the ball a little bit. He must have been on that Aaron Rodgers. He threw high. He must have been on that. You know what he was on.
Was he on a trip?
He was on a trip.
Ooh,
intercepted.
He was tripping right here, too. We talk about Sam Darnold, his ability to make mistakes at time and give the ball away. Just put a little too much on the ball, trying to force it to Jordan Addison. Eccles with a good interception right over the shoulder.
Intercepted by the man replacing Sauce Gardner. It's Eccles.
On to the fourth quarter. After a couple of pass interference calls, the Jets all the way down on the goal line, and Aaron Rodgers still so nimble in the pocket, had all day, smoked a cigarette, and then delivered the ball to Garrett Wilson. I am him.
OC, he came through on this. This is what we call a second reaction play. The little subtle movement by Aaron Rodgers allows Garrett Wilson to kind of freestyle right there and break off the route to the outside, looking for that open space, comes up with a big catch. The comeback has begun.
Rodgers, all kinds of time, throws it. Touchdown, Garrett Wilson.
The Vikings kick the field goal to make it 23-17. In the fourth quarter now, 3rd down and 10, Aaron Rodgers has to make a play here. They have to get a touchdown, J-Bell, and he throws it. What kind of throw is that? Intercepted by Stephon Gillilock Gilmore.
Ooh, this is great film study. They understood one of his go-to routes was the back shoulder fade, and that's exactly what he threw. And Gilmore, the veteran cornerback who has seen it all, comes through with the play. Look at him get his head around and locate the ball, OC, and then make a play that seals the deal.
It's intercepted. Stephon Gilmore gets the Jets again.
I saw Stephon Gilmore after the game yesterday. Not after the game, but like, you know, when I was on the field, and he was like, OC, I'm such a big fan of yours, man. That's what he said. Defensive player of the year.
You know what?
Yeah.
All DBs, you know what we love?
Pass rushers.
Yeah, buddy.
The Vikings improved to 5-0, get a big win across the pond in London. At home, home game, I must say, for them, J-Bell, home game.
And it felt like it. 23-17, the Vikings come through. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm telling you right now, man, this game had it all.
Yep.
It really did. I know we're going to talk about it because we're homers. Mm. We loved it. But my goodness, We're doing the live commentating, and at no moment did it feel like the game had a dip. It was always something exciting happening.
Yeah, especially if you're a fan of defense, right? Like the way these two teams played defensively, the cornerbacks, the pressure, it was just, man, I loved it, man. The quarterback struggled, both of them, none of them played well. You know, there were bad people on both sides.
Please vote this November.
Yeah, please. And so they didn't play well, but for a defensive fan and the excitement of the game, J-Bell, it was absolutely fantastic.
You talked about the quarterbacks. I'm going to talk about Sam Darnold real quick. He was 14 for 31, 179 passing yards. He had an interception,
But my goodness, you know what it looked like? Mm. You like track and field.
I do like track and field.
So, you know that guy that was just quick, came out, like, boom, out of the blocks, going. And then the rest of the race, it was just everybody was slowly but surely creeping up on him. And at the last minute, he just leaned. Yeah. But the whole thing was like, he was out, and then he's getting chased. Mm. That's what it feels like every time I watch the Vikings play.
Yeah.
They start so fast. Everything is clicking. And then it's like, hold on for dear life.
Young and experienced football team, J. Bell. It seems like, but they're winning at the end of the day. Usually teams like this that are that young, they find ways to lose the game, right? So teams are coming back on them. They're not playing their best football, but right there at the very end, just like you said, they stick their neck out and get the W, man.
Yeah.
It's very impressive what they did here yesterday.
You talked about this team. We critique coaches all the time. Mm. I feel like this staff, they have answers early in the game and often. And that's why they start so fast like this.
Both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connell, who's the head coach, but he's the offensive coordinator, right? He's the one calling the plays. He finds a way. Teams adjust to what he's doing, and then he finds a way to get a big play for them to win the game. And Brian Flores, the entire season, there wasn't any dip there now.
No.
You understand what I mean? The only reason why they gave up any points is because the special teams and the defense put him in bad field position.
Yeah.
Other than that, they shut down the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers. This guy is doing a great, masterful job, Jason.
That Jets defense, though.
Yeah.
They were up for the challenge, especially on the outside at the cornerback position. Mm. We talked about them. They were locking down. They were in man-to-man coverage. But the penalties, OC, we saw some crucial ones. And we were talking before this happened. You've caused a lot of penalties for offensive tackles. So before the game, would you go to the referees or your coach and say, hey, number 68 is holding a lot. Be aware. Watch and make sure he's not holding our guy 72.
So many things that you had to do before. Like you had to alert the officials to things that they might not have been privy to. For instance, I used to get off the ball really, really quick, right?
Yes, you did.
So what I'll do is I'll go to the officials right before the game and I'll be like, hey, listen, I have a tell. I have something that I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. So when I get off the ball this quick, do not call it offsides because I'm not jumping. I'm seeing something. And they'll say, okay, no problem. So they'll let that go. And if there was a guy who was particularly egregious in holding, you got to tell the ref before the game, hey, this guy likes to hold.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, you will get that call. I think that might have been what the Vikings did to the Jets because they were just calling everything back there.
It was like they let him play early on, but once it got a little too grabby, those flags started to fly. And now, next week, if they don't correct that, that's going to happen. They're going to start calling the flags again. That's happened to me before, and you know what the coach made me do?
What's that?
Wear boxing gloves in practice.
Boxing gloves.
And I already like the box.
Yeah, I know. You probably just throwing hooks. Probably just throwing blows, bro. Like, I got these gloves on. I might as well use them.
It didn't help me cover nobody. It made practice real interesting.
Real fun.
Hey, you know who was popping, though?
Okay.
You know what game was popping? I know we had to talk about ours.
Okay.
But the Ravens and the Bengals, bro, 41-38. The Ravens get the win. Lamar Jackson, I'm going to throw you something.
Okay.
348 passing yards, 55 rushing yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
They decided, the Bengals, their defense isn't good. So they were going to sell out to stop the run. You've seen this happen before. And you've always talked about Lamar. Can you beat us throwing the ball? Well, he almost didn't beat him, but he did. And he looked tremendous back
Fantastic.
There. Just dicing him up, man.
So I did see something on social media, right? I think before the game, there was a lady who was talking to Lamar Jackson. Did you see that?
Mm.
They were out at dinner or something.
When he blamed it on her.
And he was like, this is on you. This is
your
fault. This is your fault.
Yes.
And then went out there and did that. Like, who calls their shot like that, man? And he did it so nonchalantly. He was like, hey, this is on you.
Yeah.
What's about to happen? It's like he knew. He had a premonition that he was about to go out there and destroy the Cincinnati. Well, he beats them all the time. So.
Yeah. He took advantage of a banged-up secondary. It was a lot of injuries. But on the other side, Joey B.
Okay.
Joe Burrow. 392 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception. It was costly. He put them in a position to win, but it was a botched field goal attempt that really led to giving Lamar another chance to go out there and score. Derrick Henry, who had been shut down all game, pretty much, big run, and they get the win. Joey B is the dude out there.
Is he?
He is the dude.
He's the guy.
That team can put up 35, man. They're going to have to with this defense.
Yeah.
But when he's got those receivers out there, I mean, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, it's happening, man. Joe Burrow's that dude. He's the guy. He's the guy.
So explain to me then why he's 1-5 against Lamar Jackson.
That's not being the guy.
That is not being the guy
at all.
No, I need an explanation. That's what I need.
The explanation is it's a team sport. It's a team sport now.
All of a sudden it's a team sport. You know, I love that. I love that when it comes to Joe Burrow, how all of a sudden it's a team sport. Every other time, it's the quarterback. It's the guy. He's getting paid $300 million. He's the one who can't walk. He's the one whose hamstrings are hurting because he has all that money in his back pocket. So guess what? All of a sudden, everybody gives him a pass. Joey Burrow, you're so cool. You're such a nice guy, Joey Burrow. You can do anything you want to. You can get injured half the time, and nobody cares. You're still one of the top three quarterbacks in the league. It doesn't matter what you do, Joey Burrow. We love you. We love your little blonde hair. Everything that you do, Joey Burrow, you're our guy. You're our guy, Joey B.
What did Joe do to you?
I'm gonna tell you what he did to me. I'm gonna tell you what he did to me.
Oh my goodness.
No, let me tell you what he did
to
me.
I'm listening.
This is what Joey Burrow did to me. I am a rational person.
Okay.
And I refuse to be rational about that guy because I love him.
I'm with you.
Because I love the guy. I caught myself. I'm like, okay, wait, hold on now. Hold on. How come I refuse to hold Joey Burrow to the same standard that I hold every other quarterback to? And this isn't just me. This is everybody that does that.
Yeah.
He is such a good dude. He is such a cool guy. And he does have amazing talent.
Yes.
But some of the things that he does that other quarterbacks do that we're like, hey, you can't do that, we let him slide. I get it. I understand. But those same standards got to apply to everybody, Jay Bell. That's the era we're in, is it not?
You make a good point.
Thank you.
You make.
I like when you say that.
I was sweating.
How about that, Jay?
About that, I won't do it aloud. Okay. Point.
Yeah. You like that? Yeah.
You know what? You're right.
Okay.
All seriousness. Mm-hmm. I like Joe Burrow. He's likable. There's a reason why the team surrounds him, believes in him the way they do. He is the focal point, obviously. He's got the big deal. He makes the plays. There's a lot of belief in Burrow. And we never really point the finger.
Mm.
We always say, he's going to get it right. Mm-hmm. He's going to figure it out. This person needs to do that. That person needs to do that. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
But he deserves it.
Yeah.
Because he is a playmaker. He makes it happen. But yet most quarterbacks' wins and losses are tagged directly to their name.
Yeah.
Somebody else that the team is rallying behind is Jaden Daniels from the Commanders. OC. They crushed the Browns, 34-13. Jaden Daniels, 338 passing yards, one touchdown, one interception. Now he's balling, he's doing well. We knew the talent he was. But I want to talk about his offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, the former head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. This offense is on fire right now. And I didn't think he was going to be able to do that. When he got the job, I didn't have the faith that it would look this good.
Like you told me before, and you've always said this, the reason why you think he's thriving right now is because he doesn't have to worry about managing the whole team.
Yeah.
He just has to focus on being a offensive play caller, which is something that he thrives at, he is excellent at. And I think you have a very good point there, Jason.
You know, we see this a lot in many industries where someone might get promoted because they're successful at their role. And it might go up to a leadership role.
Mm.
And then they fail.
Okay.
Because being a leader has nothing to do with being good at your job.
Okay. Why? You're looking at me in a way that...
No, I'm just talking.
Like you're almost kind of telling me something.
No.
Are you trying to tell me something?
You are a leader.
No, but I'm saying... Are you saying if they move me up?
No. If they move you up... Leadership would be great. You already run NFL Africa for a reason.
Okay.
Because leadership is an ability to relate and listen.
Mm.
Just because you're good at your job doesn't mean you're good at leading.
Yes, that's true.
And you see that a lot with coaches.
Mm.
They can call plays. But when they become the head coach, the CEO, that's a different position.
Yeah.
It comes with a lot of new challenges.
Mm.
And not to say that you can't do it, But it's difficult. And it's definitely difficult to then now build a game plan and call plays at the same time.
Absolutely.
So what I'm seeing is a guy who now can focus in on making a player better, that is Jalen Daniels, and making an offense click. I wish that was the same for the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson, in 5 games this season, 91 out of 148 attempts, 727 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. We're talking about head coaches. Kevin Stefanski can call plays.
Okay.
We seen what happened when Flacco was in there. We seen how the team all of a sudden believed. But he made a statement and said, we are not changing quarterbacks. And that, of course, is exactly what I want to get into.
So I think we have to be cognizant of the fact that they have given Deshaun Watson $233 million.
Guaranteed.
He's getting all that money. That money is going into his pocket no matter what they do.
Yep.
A big reason why, and I hate to say this, a big reason why NFL teams specifically don't like the guarantee contracts.
Oh, I knew you were going to go here, man, and it goes right. Oh, big
reason why they don't like to do that. The sport is too unpredictable.
Yeah.
It's too unpredictable.
That's why we want guaranteed money, though, because it's unpredictable for us, too.
Exactly. But from a business standpoint.
Okay, we'll focus on that.
When you look at, and I say this all the time.
You do.
Soccer, right?
Yeah.
Right now, I'm about to be 43 years old.
Looking fresh out there.
I want to go out there and play every day. I love it. You understand what I'm trying to say?
I know you do.
I love it, J-Bell.
I know you do.
I want to do it every day. People who play football love it. It is not quite as unpredictable. You guarantee a guy's contract when he's playing this game, they'll keep playing, right?
Yeah.
Because they love it.
Yeah, they do.
American football is a completely different
sport.
And
tough.
This right here happening with Deshaun Watson, he is guaranteed all this money, and they can't sit him down. They can't bench him. They can't do anything, because if they do, heads will roll. There's so many people who are invested in this, J-Bell, and if they admit they made this mistake,
I know.
Done.
What do you call this again?
Sunk cost fallacy.
That's absolutely what it is. It's we want to keep throwing investment after our initial investment to hopefully make it right. And we totally understand this. If I'm in that building and from the top, I'm hearing you need to make this work. We hired you because you are a teacher, a coach. Can you get this player that has shown the talent before to play at a high level? Oh, you can't. You got to go.
You got to go.
And I understand that. The problem is, and we're going to watch this play out. When you lose a locker room, OC, you've seen teams where that's happened.
Yeah.
It's over. If we go in and we think and we look around, we're not really here to win. Like, we're not here to win.
Yeah.
We're here because you want to get this person ready to play for your future, or you're worried about that. We're not here to win now. Mm-hmm. Once we think that, you know what happens in that fourth quarter?
Yep.
Nothing.
Yeah. And not only that, what you start to see is there is no team sports that people are as dependent on each other as the game of football. Like none. It's the most interdependent game. And then if we think, oh, okay, you guys are just, it's not every man for himself. Everybody's, okay, we're just going to. I'm going to do this inside move because I don't care what's going on.
I just need to go make a play.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the pick. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what you called.
You and I love talking about business, talking about life, how these things intertwine. And you see this. People, whatever industry they're in, they have to have lived through a point where they have seen this happen, where it's like there's care, there's compassion, everybody's kumbaya, working together, and something happens. Whether it's a shift in leadership, somebody, they elevate to a position, and you can watch it all crumble. And then what happens? You said it the best. I'm just going to make this inside move.
Just going to do it.
Oh, I just need to make this sale. I know this isn't the best sale. This isn't the direction we want to go in, but it's just about my numbers. And then guess what happens? everything crumbles.
It falls apart.
Everything falls apart, and then you have to rebuild. The hard part is, when does it happen?
Yeah.
When does it begin? It will eventually have to happen.
Has to happen.
And usually it's the owner saying, enough is enough. You know what enough is?
Okay.
The Bears winning against the Panthers. That's okay. Enough for me.
Talking about the Bears that are coming here?
That's enough for me.
Coming to London?
Coming to
Tottenham
London.
Tottenham Stadium?
36-10.
They're going to be on Sky. What you calling?
Yeah. And guess who's going to come on there with me for a little bit?
I'm going to say hi.
Come on, say hi,
I'll
bro.
I'll come say hi.
All right, we need you. You worked really hard this weekend, man. You are a machine in the booth coming through. I appreciate you making it happen. Caleb Williams is going to miss you in the booth, too, because he was hot.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, and you would be able to call it, but next time you will.
Okay.
He was 20 out of 29, 304 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. This was Caleb's first 300-yard passing game as a Bear, and he's coming here.
Yeah, I'll tell you what has
happened. We've seen the maturation.
I'll tell you what has happened. It all started for Caleb Williams when C.J. Stroud tried to little bro him.
Ooh.
And he looked at C.J. Stroud. He was like, what? What are you? I'm better than you, C.J. That's when this whole renaissance, this whole transformation began. He was like, he looked at him and he was like, did you see it? He was like,
yeah, mm-hmm. He did.
But in his eye, I told you that
you
that day.
Did.
I was like, he's saying to himself, I'm better than this guy. What are you trying to little bro me? I'm better than you. And he has come out there over these past couple of games, and he has put on the performance that the Chicago Bears drafted him for. We've seen it all. He does look like the second coming of Mahomes. He does look like he's in the same company as C.J. Stroud last year. He said, you're not going to little bro me. Who do you think you're talking to, man? You're going to be a good player in this league. What? I am a good player in this league, C.J. Shout out to Caleb Williams.
You make a really good point.
Yeah.
You're tying this together well, like some good shoestrings.
You know what I mean?
Okay, I like this, but rich people don't have shoestrings. Mm-hmm. Look at the ankles. That's all. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
They're moist because of your voice.
Oh, I can't.
When your voice went down, they got moist. Yeah.
I can't. I'm sorry, y'all. I can't talk too loud. I gotta.
They're usually really, really ashy.
But it's the low. It's the low. It's the Maxwell voice.
Yeah, they're moist now.
Okay, it's like that. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams must have that voice on the line of scrimmage too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You say something that's so true and right. There's a book called Ego is the Enemy. And the first thing I thought was, man, I'm going to rip that book up. Because that ego fired him up. Yeah. That ego fired him up.
What?
And OC, I hate to say this because I didn't have this confidence as a player. I was confident, but not at that level. The dudes that were like that, like you, it was those moments. Those moments, they put a fire underneath you and y'all went into attack mode. I've seen it happen. Literally, that's why we talk about bulletin board material. Mm. Do not poke the bear.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. I remember in college, we playing against TJ Houshmandzadeh, my boy. He's at Oregon State. Him and Chad Johnson. Mm. I'm covering Chad. Ricky Manning, who played in the NFL now, who's a coach for the Raiders, covering TJ. I said, listen, before the game, I said, Ricky, don't talk crazy to TJ. He gets better. TJ, don't talk crazy to Ricky. He gets better.
Mm.
Well, they talk crazy to each other.
Mm.
Me and Chad trying to break them up in the whole game. We can't worry about what we're doing because they're about to get kicked out of the game. They are trying to destroy each other because their game kept raising up. And you know what Chad was doing to me? He was telling me his ankle was hurt.
Mm.
He's like, JPL, my ankle's hurt. And then on 3rd and 13, he just routes me up. I said, man, he's been setting me up all game. But then again, it all makes sense. You do not want to poke the bear. Some guys are fired up. I feel like the bear has been poked a little bit to Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence had his best game last week.
Yep.
Coming in here, he needed a win. Mm. We get to see both these teams playing against each other. Chicago, Jacksonville, off of a win. Trevor was 28 out of 34. He went for 371 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. But the pressure was really on him. The coach talked about play calling and said he almost alluded to players still got to make the play.
Yep.
I went and looked at the film, and I seen a couple throws. I said, oh, that's who he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he stepped up to the challenge.
That's the frustrating thing about him because he has so much talent, right? He can be so good sometimes, and other times it's just head scratching, right? So now we've seen this. We've seen this dominant display from the quarterback position. And now you get tantalized. You're like, okay, you get sucked in. You're like, okay, it's time now. Here we go, Trevor. Then he lays a dud, man. It's really, really bizarre the way that has happened. There's undeniable talents, undeniable character, leadership. We know he's supposed to be a top-tier quarterback. Yeah. They paid him like one because they believe in that.
And when you line his stats up to other guys, I think somebody put his stats up side by side, but maybe even Sam Darnold.
Was it Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones?
It was one of them, right? Yeah. It was like, ooh.
Hold on now.
It was eye-popping.
Yeah.
That being said, you always talk about coming here, playing this game. We get to see a great one this week. This is a pivotal moment in the season. If they can come in, that is Jacksonville, and win two games in a row out here, which they have done before, it changes everything. There's a lot of heat on this coaching staff right now also because their owner said this is the best team he's ever had, and it's not looking like that at this moment.
Yeah, definitely, man. Shout out to Trevion Walker.
Yeah.
Three sacks yesterday.
Yeah, he had a big game.
He's starting to come along now.
Yep.
Josh Allen also had a couple of sacks. They got some really good players there, man.
Tank Bigsby, the running back, really coming through. But you're right. You want the money to show up. That rookie receiver they got, I can't wait to see him out here. That guy flat out fly.
Okay.
He's starting to get a real understanding of this offense. But that being said, we'll get into that. We'll dig into that. That's going to be a great one.
Yep, can't wait to watch it.
It's that time, OC.
Okay.
It's time for our picks of the week.
Which kind of picks is it?
There are picks that are powered by 88 Sport.
Oh, okay.
The official partner. Okay. Of the NFL UK. Are you ready?
I think so.
You ready for this?
I think I was pretty good last week with my pick, so maybe I'm ready.
There was a lot of pressure on you, but you've been responding.
I had to come through.
All right, first up, we got the game we get to see here live. Mm. The Jaguars at the Bears. It's a home game for the Bears here at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Where are you leaning?
Ooh, home game for the Bears in London, Chicago? Ooh, you know them Bears fans are going to be out here. This is a Chicago Bears city, bro. From the 85 Bears, I'm going with the Chicago Bears here, buddy.
All right, I'm going with Jacksonville because this is the pivotal moment and the shift in their season.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence comes through big time. We got the Lions at the Cowboys.
Detroit Lions, man. They're too good of a football team. I think they get this win.
I'm going with the Lions because I don't trust Dallas to stop the run.
Yeah.
So, got to go with the Lions for that win. The Rams at the Broncos.
Oof.
This is tough. The Rams dealing with a lot of injuries.
Bo Nix has been coming along, man. Did you see him getting into it with Sean Payton?
Yeah.
That
Once
was
you start going at it with your head coach, you know.
Yeah, I kind of like, but he's an older rookie.
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
He's like, hey, Sean Payton, relax, buddy.
he's like, man, I was in college for 7 years, bro.
Yeah.
Relax.
I'm gonna go with the Broncos here.
You're going Broncos?
Yeah,
I'm going with the Rams just because I'm going with Sean McVay's ability to find a great game plan. Find a way to win these games, even though he's down on talent.
You ever played in Denver before?
I have. Okay. Oh, it's so hard to breathe up there, man. It is tough, man. That is a good point. You got the Steelers at the Raiders.
Pittsburgh Steelers, man. The Raiders are playing well, man. They don't have a quarterback. Our guy, Devontae Adams, wants to get out of town. Max Crosby is up in arms. They got to figure that out, man.
Okay,
I
got
to go with the other team.
And the Steelers lost last week, so they're going to want to bounce back. I'm going with the Raiders.
Of course
I'm going with Antonio Pierce's Raiders because this is when you find a way to motivate as a head coach. And the offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, guess who he coached?
Who?
Justin Fields. Maybe he's got a little nugget for us. Maybe he's got a little nugget. And then last but not least, the Bills at the Jets, who we just saw here last week.
Bills struggling. No way they beat the Jets. Coming off a disappointing loss. I'm picking the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers bounce back game.
Really?
Yes.
You know what? I'm going with you on this.
Good.
I'm going with the Jets.
I convinced you.
You did. And I just feel like this offense doesn't have enough weapons from the Bills. We praised it. You know, it was an offense by committee, but sometimes you just need that guy. Khalil Shakir was hurt last week. Let's see how this rolls out. So that's our picks for week 6. Head over to 888 Sport for all of the odds and 18 plus. Please responsibly gamble. That's it for the Jason and OC podcast in OC's New York apartment, of course. Mm-hmm. Please follow us on all the social channels. Keep liking, subscribing, all that stuff. We really, really appreciate it. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to do this.